Anyway, onto something completely different now. Luke Eastwood in Wexford is a Druid. He's author of several books on the subject, including The Druid's Primer. He will discuss the summer solstice today and its importance in Ireland's past and present heritage. Luke Eastwood, good morning.
Hello, how are you doing?
No, today's the solstice. What's the significance of the solstice?
Well, this is an astronomical event in the most basic terms. It's the longest day of the year, which people still celebrate now, but it's something that has been going on, going back into prehistory, not just in Ireland, but all over the world. Going back, I suppose, you're looking at things like stone circles, and I suppose the winter solstice would be more famously associated with Newgrange up in
Yeah.
Now, with the case of the summer solstice, that's more localised. People celebrate it at circles such as Grange down Limerick is a very nice one that's aligned to the summer solstice sunrise. And also places like Knockonia, just south of Limerick City, people used to gather up on the hilltops and have a big bonfire and a massive celebration. And I mean, it's still carrying on today, Tara being the most famous spot for that in the,
and listen,
the current times.
God forbid, something happened to our modern means of communications and everybody didn't know the date, they didn't know the month, and they had no way of tuning into the internet to find out what day it was. How did primitive people actually measure the solstice? How did they come up with the day? I mean, how astronomically can you do it?
Well, if you think back to when this was done, there wasn't such things as computers or telephones or anything like that. It was all done by calculating the positions of the stars and the sun relative to the Earth. Now, I think it's the technical thing. I think it's directly over one of the tropics at the highest point relative to the Earth.
Yeah.
It's, the sun will be exactly, the time of it isn't necessarily going to be midday when we think of the sun being right above us.
Yeah.
It varies from year to year. And it's not always this day, sometimes it's the 20th. Now, I don't personally know the exact calculation of
so of, something
of
to
how
do
you
with
do
the,
that,
the angle of the sun or something, the angle of shadow will make at around midday or something like that, I think, is it? Or
well,
there's no shadow at midday. What am I talking about? Yeah.
Well, it's basically an astronomical calculation based on the high point of the sun.
So these primitive people, they might have been primitive, but they weren't stupid.
No, they surely weren't. And if you look at stone circles, not just in Ireland, even in places like Japan, they built these circles which have very precise alignments, not just for this time of year, but other points within the ancient calendar. I mean, the calendar people used to work with was based on the cycles of the seasons and on the position of the sun relative to the Earth. It was, you know, entirely natural. It wasn't sort of, now we have the Gregorian calendar, which has gotten really very little to do with the actual rotation of the Earth, you know.
So you have no solstice, I suppose, if you live on the equator. What's the point?
Well, yes, pretty much. You're not going to have any real difference. There would be a minute fluctuation because, you know, the Earth is tilted.
Yeah.
But it is negligible, really. It's very, very, the closer you get between the tropics, there's very little difference. The more northerly you are, obviously, the more extreme that would be, you know?
Right, so the Druids then, Druidic practices, what were they?
Well, that's a difficult question to give a short answer on. Basically,
was it a religion or was it a way of living or what was it?
Well, the Druids were really a sort of priest caste, healers, sort of, you know, they practiced medicine, and they also were administered the law.
Yeah.
So they had sort of really a threefold function in society, and they were sort of you know, if you could simply combine it as sort of like a priest, a doctor and a lawyer rolled into one. Some of them specialised in one particular area, some all three.
Yeah, so they were pretty important people in Celtic times.
Oh yes, they would have been, yes.
And did they have a lot of power?
Yes, I'd say they did. It was a custom that the druid would speak before the king did. You know, so in a certain way, they would have a higher level of respect than royalty did.
Yeah,
they had different grades of druids, and they tended to be attached to local families. The clan chieftain would have his own druid, and you know, a bigger chief would also have his own. You know,
and what would a druid do on the summer solstice?
Well, there isn't actually anything really recorded about what people did historically. What modern druids do is an interpretation of what they think people did, and what those, you know, clues that are given by sort of the old mythology and some of the histories, the annals going back to the medieval period. But there's no actual, you know, there's no guidebook that says, hey, this is what we did back in, you know, 500 BC.
Well, you'd imagine, given that it's a red letter day in the annual calendar, you'd imagine that what they would have done is they would have celebrated it, because this is the time of plenty. You know, this is the summertime, and they were a pastoral and a rural dwelling people. So you know, you'd imagine that they'd have had a bit of a hooly.
Yes, they would have done. But what you can be sure of is that some of the traditions from pre-Christian Ireland did survive, and a lot of it got transferred to St. John's Day, which is around the 24th, I think.
Yeah.
So you would have a bit of a hooly up on a big hill. There would also be the collecting of sacred herbs such as St. John's wort and vervain and things like that, yarrow, which all grow here. Probably a lot of dancing and, you know, a bit of a session, and there would be some kind of acknowledgement of the actual time that, you know, the sun is now at its most powerful, but also beginning the decline into winter. So, you know, from tomorrow, the sun will be getting
weaker,
and the days will be getting shorter.
Yeah.
So there would be prayers and invocations for, you know, good weather and a blessing on, you know, on the land that, you know, people relied completely and utterly on nature, on the weather, on their crops and on their animals. So.
I remember, now that you talk about animals, I remember my mother telling me a story about her father, who was a farmer and lived near New Inn, a place called Temple Knowe, and they used to light a fire at a gateway, a small gateway, on St. John's Day or St. John's Eve, and they would drive the cattle through the fire, which I thought was very strange. Some kind of a ritual or something. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, well, that's very similar to the kind of ritual that's given for Beulah, beginning of May, where what they usually had was two fires and drive the cattle between them as a way of purifying them. You know, that often usually was around the time when they were brought out and let onto the higher ground.
Yeah, but how was it purifying them? I mean, it could burn them as well. I could never figure it out myself.
Well, I think it's symbolic more than an actual purification. You don't want to scold all your cows.
That's really what I don't think the cows would have been too keen, you know.
No, they wouldn't have been, you know, the fires would have been wide enough apart that your cows don't get singed to death.
Like, but it was a kind of a symbolic thing, really.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that were done at the actual summer solstice were very similar, again, with the fire and people jumping over the fire and having parties and, you know, getting married as well. They'd have sort of funny, strange fire games, like rolling a fire wheel down the hill, which is a bit dangerous, obviously, in very dry weather. It could set the whole place on fire. A lot of these traditions have carried on all through the year, not just the summer solstice. That you'll find remnants of pre-Christian practices going right through the the entire year.
Okay, so how are you going to celebrate the solstice yourself, being a druid?
Well, I'll be doing something myself quietly at home, but I will be involved in a number of ceremonies over the weekend. It being modern times and people having to work Monday to Friday mostly, it tends to get switched to
the weekend
to facilitate most people. You can't expect everyone to sort of just say, right, I need today off because it's a solstice, and I want to go up on some big hill and celebrate it.
But isn't it peculiar
it's moved, to usually to the nearest weekend for convenience for people.
But isn't it strange that the summer solstice hasn't achieved the same kind of popularity and huge involvement in people's lives as say, the winter one and Christmas and all?
Well, I think the winter one has been become incredibly popular because of Newgrange being a World Heritage Site and the massive effort the government have put into publicising that. And of course they arrange sort of the lottery with that, so you can go and spend the night in there and watch the sunbeams come in on the on the morning. So I mean you would actually find that if you went up to Tara today there will be a lot of people there.
All right.
And probably again at the weekend. It's not a completely forgotten event. I must say, though, I went to Knockonia, which is now on private land. I think it was on the solstice one time, and there was not a soul there. Obviously, I had to ask the farmer permission to go up there, but yeah. There was nobody else. So that was celebrated into the late 1800s. People used to gather there.
But it
has got forgotten since then.
It died out. Okay, yes. Thank you very much for talking to us, Luke Eastwood. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a million.